Dave Moore on Today FM.
Your bag is interesting.
My handbag?
Yeah, it's got holes in it.
Do you want to know a story about my handbag?
Well, yes.
So I bought it. I was on holidays in Seville in 2023.
So you would say Seville. I would say Sevilla. And everyone would call me a pretentious... And they'd be right.
Yeah, I was Seville.
Sevilla. Okay, go
yeah,
on, Seville.
I was in Seville. And it was our last day and hadn't really bought anything for myself that wasn't, you know, dinner or going to the supermarket or whatever. Yeah. So we happened upon the shop, and like it was one of those shops where the smell of leather like whacked you in the face before you even.
Those.
And it was like down like a little side street. Yeah. And I was like, oh, I'll go in here now. It'll be way out of my budget, whatever. Went in, they had fantastic handbags, beautiful, beautiful handbags. And I saw this one. So it's a little brown. It's what this, like not even A4 size?
No.
Little flap in it, and it has holes in it, a little silver buckle. It's perfectly practical.
It's gorgeous.
Leather smells great. Holding up really well because I use it all the time.
It's very decorative, the leather.
Indeed, it is. Yeah, there's a pattern on the front of it, on the front flap, shall we say.
Yeah.
So it was great. Brought it home. Actually held it until the summertime because it's a summery bag and I had gone in the October. So I was like,
fair.
I'll hang on to that now. And wore it all summer, wore it up, blah, blah, blah. So then come forward to 2024 and we went to Cordoba. Thank you. And we took a day trip to Granada. And we were walking around Granada's beautiful city. We'd done all the like the touristy bits. I think we're going there this year. And we were walking there. We're like, oh, we've got some time to kill before the train comes. Let's walk down some side streets. Every single shop, every single tourist shop from the castle in Granada or whatever it was to the city centre of Granada, every single one of them had my handbag. It's obviously like the generic leprechaun hat of Spain.
So you thought you'd gotten some handcrafted artisan leather man's work.
Like, granted,
incredible.
It came in a plastic bag, but that's Spain. So like, and I'm like, oh, thanks, it's my holiday bag. No. Everyone has them. Like, they're literally, when I say it was comically in every shop, hanging, and like, not just that particular bag, that particular bag in different sizes.
Yes.
Some are big, some are small. There was little clutches. There was like
wallets.
But I suppose
if you just wear it in Ireland... Then people will think like, oh, what a cool, you know, Latino
bag. Not if they've
bag.
Been to apparently well. Anywhere in the south of Spain.
so
if
good.
I go back this year, I'll be more careful. It's on me now.
Don't bring that bag with you. Do you know my interesting fact about Seville, Sevilla?
Go for it.
Seville is in a crater.
Oh.
So it is the hottest place in Europe.
Mm-hmm. I can test that.
It is so ridiculously hot. In fact, one day, I've told the story before on the radio, but one day we were in Seville. And we were going to IKEA because this was before IKEA was kind of everywhere. It certainly wasn't in Ireland.
Yes.
It was possibly in Belfast, definitely in the UK. But there was a Seville and IKEA and we were on holidays in Malaga and we went to Seville. It's a good drive. We went there. A couple of hours, I'd say. Anyway, more. So we got there and it was like, well, we're early. You know, we don't have to go to IKEA right now. We're here. Let's wander around the beautiful old city. And I was like, I'd been to Spain a good few times. Like, and I was used to the heat. I don't like it because I'm Irish and I'm as white as they come. But I was like, no, like I'm okay in Malaga. And I was like, I don't think I'm feeling pretty well like here. And I would go into a shop and buy two bottles of water. Like, in fairness, bottles of water are like 75 cents in Spain.
Yeah.
I'm not like paying £4 like here. And I would drink one while pouring another one over my head.
Wow.
And then throw the two of them into the bin and then move on to the next and the next. And I'd walk in the shade, whatever. And I was like, it was Tracy and her parents who live in Spain.
They're climatized.
And the three of them were just like, get over yourself. I'm like, no, I don't feel okay. And well, we're going to IKEA. And we went to, anyway, we went to IKEA, got our food, bought a few bits, went home, turned on the Spanish news at 9 o'clock at night when we got in the door. People had died in Seville.
Oh my God.
From heat exhaustion. And I was like, I told you there was something wrong with me. They're
I wasn't well.
You're fine. I was like, no, it was too hot.
Oh, so like, I think when we were there, it was mid-October and it was 32 Jesus. Degrees every day we were there. And it was bizarre because we'd left here and the day before we left, it was tipping rain and like 4 degrees. And then we came went over there and then came back and same thing. It was like, I was in shorts.
That's wild.
Like, I don't remember what my legs feel like in trousers. Now I'm in jeans like a monster.
Right. Well, anyway, look, your handbag is gorgeous.
Well,
and that's all
you.
That matters. What isn't gorgeous are the unbelievably cringeworthy tales that we got talking about first kiss cringe. Maria revealed hers, which was to do with Robbie Williams' Angels on holidays in the UK with her family, purple hair, blue hair, Tweety Bird clips, and kissing her first ever kiss in front of her parents. Oh my God. But it continued and it got just unbelievably funny. Holly, what about yours?
My first kiss, I think I was like 14, and he was 13. He was the year below me, but he was from my area. And he's gone on to be one of my gay best friends. But I was so determined to, like, not be the only 14-year-old that hadn't kissed a boy. So, like, we walked around the estate and every little, like, darkened corner was like, will we kiss here? And we were like, no, some might see us. Will we kiss here? No, some might see us. And I live in, like, an alley, not an alleyway, but there's kind of a laneway between my house, or between the two parts of the estate beside my house. And we were like, we kiss here? No. Eventually we kissed, and I went home and told my friends, and they were like, Holly, he's gay. I was like, no, he's not. He loves me. Yeah, he's gay. He's happily living with his partner now.
Well, I'm happy for him, Holly. What about you, Grania?
My proper first kiss was in a graveyard in a small village in North Cork, and that was fine anyway that night. The kiss actually turned out to be a bit of a washing machine kiss. But later that week, anyway, my mum comes back to me and was like, were you doing something down the village at the last week? And I was like, no. She's like, were you kissing someone? And to this day, I swear to God, I don't know who told her that I was kissing in the graveyard.
Yeah, somebody did. They ratted you out, in fairness to them. Paul's got one for us as well. What about you, Paul?
My first kiss was at Irish College. I was very nervous, bless. And I remember being in the Jacks, and there was a group of lads around me. I was the youngest, I think, at the Irish College. I think in Ballyvourney, of all places. And there was a group of three or four lads talking to me about techniques and what to do and where to put your hands and where to put your feet. So yeah, I went out fully armed with many tips and everything, and sure, it was a disaster, but delighted, you know, got it done. I don't think much has improved since then, really.
Got it done. It sounds like somebody giving a post-match press conference of a game. Well, look, we went out there and, you know, it was a tough night, but we got it done anyway, and that's the main thing. Francis in Limerick says, Dave, my first kiss was at a teenage disco. Thought I was sorted for the night and had a girlfriend, in inverted commas. She turned around and shifted seven other lads. I was devastated. Oh, no. Alan and Loud says, that's hard to say, my first kiss was a shift arranged by my older brother because he wanted to shift her sister. Anyway, we locked mouths, open mouths, and didn't move our lips or mouth. We were like statues stuck to each other. I can still taste the Avon body spray from my first kiss. And then poor Vix. Vix says, my first kiss was horrendous. We lived in a little estate with about 15 houses, and they all had those pebble dash walls. Anyway, most of the kids were in around the same age. We all played together. We used to do hide and seek, and I hid at the side of the house, which had a little alleyway, and so did the boy who I liked. We were 13, and he kissed me, but he kissed me way too all over the place and smacked my head into the back of the pebble dash wall. I got 8 stitches from a sloppy, disgusting first kiss. Oh no, that's not the romantic dream you had for kissing him. Sal has been on as well.
Oh, lads, talking about cringe first kiss stories. Mine was behind my church in the countryside, and he cycled 3.5 miles up a very big hill.
Wow.
Which was organised by my older sister because she said that I had to kiss a boy before I went into secondary school. So I was like 12 or something. Go you, like 7. I was 12 and I really didn't want to do it, and all I remember was salt. He tasted salty, but it was the sweat dripping down from his forehead onto his lip, cycling up the hill. But it was just sweat. And you know when they're kind of like stubble, but not stubble, but like not stubble that he can't shave because he's only like probably like 14. That kind of as well. So it was all salty, was stuck in between that as well. And oh God, I even think about it now at the back of the church door. God, and like then I became an altar girl. So every time I walked in like the back of the church to serve mass, I was like, oh, that's where I kissed. Not saying his name. But yeah, first kiss, cringe. Oh my God. And the second one was even, well, it wasn't worse, but it was in a makeshift tent in a field when we were camping with the neighbours. I mean, you know, go country people. We know where to do it.
Fair play to yourself. Sometimes first kisses can work out and they're not cringe, like Lauren.
My first kiss is now my husband. We were childhood friends, grew up together, were friends for years, 7 years ago. Ended up getting together. Now we're married with 2 kids. So yeah, that was very unexpected.
Very unexpected, but it sounds lovely. And then some stories aren't lovely. Like poor Steve, listen to this.
First kiss, never forget it. 1997, Thorn Village Basketball Camp. I was 12 years of age and the kiss was pre-arranged. The teen disco in the last night. Never ate all day, never drank all day. I approached her. Stomach was doing somersaults. I put my hands on her hips. I put my lips on her lips. And I sharted. I actually sharted. And this was in the first 5 minutes of the teen disco. The thing we were waiting for all week. The kiss I was waiting for all day. With the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. Up to the age of 12. I still meet her now. She pretends she doesn't know me.
Oh my God. Oh my God. It doesn't get worse than that. It doesn't. But Kira makes a point, actually. This is a really clever point.
I could literally die from the secondhand cringe of listening to these first kiss stories. So awful for everyone. But the worst part is, there are definitely people sitting at home who recognize themselves as the crappy kissers. You know, like the washing machine people, the head injury people, the sweaty guy on the bike. Like, they know that they were somebody's first dreadful kiss. Oh
my God. That story from Steve is
possibly
legendary.
My favorite one.
Legendary. I'll tell you who else is legendary. Harrison frickin' Ford. Like, look, I know I interview a celebrity every day, and I know I'm a lucky boy, and I know I get to talk to a lot of famous people, but every now and again a name crops up and you go, really? In fact, there's one coming soon. I know when you listen to this podcast, I don't know when it'll be, but there's another big Hollywood name coming soon. When Harrison Ford, his name is put in an email, you just say yes, because you get chats like this.
Mr. Harrison Ford, congratulations on Captain America Brave New World, President Ross, and welcome to Ireland, your ancestral homeland. We're so glad to see you.
Glad to be seen. Thank you.
I've seen some of this movie, Harrison, the opening 30 minutes or so. I have seen you as President Ross. It suits you to be a man of power, I think. But what about your Red Hulk scenario, where did they capture everything right about you? Do you feel they got your physique right, maybe? But what about everything else?
Looks just like me, except with black hair for some reason. It seems to be a suitable representation.
And Red Hulk's big, he's strong, he's angry. If you could grab a superpower from the Marvel Universe for yourself, what would you choose?
Do they have invisibility as an option?
Yes, they do.
I'd take that.
I'm trying to work out what you would do with that.
Anything I wanted.
Absolutely fair, yeah. How's that working with that motion capture technology? Is that an odd situation?
Another day at the office. You know, it's just do silly stuff and then they make it into something, you know, that actually works. But it's silly. You feel silly doing it, yeah.
Well, it works, as you said. It pays off in the end. And I'm interested, why... I mean, I think it would be fun to jump into the Marvel Universe at any point, but why this and why now for you?
Well, this is the one they offered me. That's why. And I'm happy to have it. It's a whole different world for me. So the possibilities of it are seemingly endless. It's nice to visit another world.
That's brilliant. And the graph of a stereotypical acting career is that it slows down as age goes up. But you're bucking that trend. You seem to be working more now than ever. Are you enjoying it more now than ever?
Yeah, I am. I think I ran into a lucky strike of good writing. And I was attracted by the potential of the projects that were coming my way. And there is a lot of good writing out there these days.
Definitely. And 1923 is a huge example of that. It's absolutely
brilliant. It is indeed, yeah.
Long may that continue as well. You're famously a licensed pilot, and I could never be a pilot, even though I wanted to as a kid because I have an eye issue and I couldn't be a commercial pilot. But I recently got into the flight simulator world, and I just have a basic setup. But I'm wondering, like, with your experience, I got to fly the Irish Air Corps simulator, which was amazing.
Great.
But do you think I should stay virtual and build one of those huge, like, home setups with the pneumatic chair and all that? Or should I actually try and go and get a license?
Yeah, you should do that. You should do that with a pneumatic chair. No, I mean, that's all very fine. An actual flight simulator that there's a physical cockpit that moves.
It's very interesting.
And of course, it doesn't behave like an airplane. It behaves like a video game. So it's kind of strange.
And listen, the last time we spoke, it was for Indiana Jones Dial of Destiny. And my co-host at the time, he couldn't be here. He was a huge fan of yours. You inspired him to study archaeology. You sent him a message asking why he was wasting his life in radio. He has since given up radio and now teaches meditation.
Well, give him my congratulations.
Do you want to destroy anything else for me? Do you want to have him send a message to my wife, tell her to leave me? I mean, anything else?
Please, I've got enough responsibilities as it is.
Well, listen, I absolutely love what I've seen of Captain America so far. Brave New World, people are going to love it. I know the Irish audience will love it. And I can't wait. Are you going to come back soon? I mean, I know you've had some famously good nights out here in Ireland. We'd love to have you back.
I didn't know they'd become famous, but it's always a pleasure to be in Ireland. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Harrison Ford. Take care.
Nice to see you.
So he hasn't quite destroyed my love life yet.
I don't give it time.
I'll wait and see.
Time's a charm, as they say.
You never know.
I just hope he stops making movies soon, because I don't know if your life can handle it.
He's unbelievable, though. He's so grumpy in a good way.
He's like, an endearingly grumpy man.
He's done everything that he needs to do. He's still selling movies in his 80s, and he's like, look, I'm just doing this on my terms. That's the end of it.
Yeah.
You just deal with it. I'm Harrison Ford. And he's right. He's bloody Indiana Jones and Han Solo. And now Red Hulk. The other thing we talked about during the week, because I'm turning into a man at least as old as Harrison Ford, is my thing in the car where I can't travel without a lap blanket and sucky sweets. Yes, I'm that old. But you guys reveal the things you can't leave the house without. So many incredible ones. Hi, Denise.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? Happy Thursday.
You too. Listen, come here. I was delighted to hear you say that on the radio earlier. I was thinking, I was just such an old woman going around with my humbugs.
You have humbugs here?
Humbugs in the car.
So the mint humbugs. Do you have a specific ones you like to get, or will you take any humbug?
Yeah, there's any humbug at all, but usually there's a couple of bags thrown into the shop and they're on a regular basis to make sure I don't run out in the car.
Isn't it terrible when you run out in the car, though? It is. You feel bad about things. You're like, oh, yeah, no.
Listen, the last blanket thing, though, I don't know if I'm ready to try it yet.
Denise.
I don't know what you're thinking. Dave's much younger than me, Nick.
No, Denise. A lap blanket is ageless. So what I'm telling you now is, you think about elderly people, right? They've lived a life. They've learned so many things. And they know that driving with a blanket on your lap is the way to go.
I'm going to have to try it.
Try it, dear.
You know how it goes.
Honestly, Denise, I should say. Denise, honestly, try it. Try it once and see. Or give yourself the chance.
Right. Well, and listen, you try the humbugs.
I will try the humbugs. The ones I got recently, by the way, are the Jakeman's. I think they're throat and chest, they're called, but they have a little bit of aniseed in them. And listen, I'm delighted.
I'll give them a go.
Denise,
right,
you're a legend. Yeah, you. I want you to text me back in once you try the lap blanket.
I will. And Dave, love
the show. Yeah, fair play to you. Thanks, Denise.
Bye.
Fiona's been on.
God, I'm the same, but mine is Werther Originals.
Oh, yeah.
They're my favourite. And I have been doing a lap blanket for a long time now. It's not even a lap blanket. It's a large scarf. I've been doing it for quite a while. To respond to the man that rang in about the bin, I have a bag of nappy bags in my glove compartment. Now my children are gone past the nappy stage, but it's dead handy to pull one out and use it as a bin.
That is such a clever move, Fiona. Yes. So there you go. Johnny was asking about the bin for the car. Nappy bags in the glove box. Rosaline.
I have to have wine gums. No matter where I'm going, they're in handbags, pockets, and in the little bin that I bought for the car. But there's no empty packets in there. It's just full of wine gums. Any wine gum will do.
Excellent. The Murphys in Cork say, Dave, we have a tub of blue bonbons in the car for after school, but the rule is it's just the one. Yeah, I'm sure that's the rule. All right, well, shall we see how long that lasts? Garrick, what do you love?
Oh, for me, it's Monster Munch. Like little savoury razor blades cutting the roof of your mouth with their delicious tastiness. They are a winner.
Oh, brilliant. And Noelle?
Good morning. The thing I cannot be without for as long as I can remember is Blue Labello lip balm.
Oh!
I have one everywhere. Nothing else will do. It has to be blue Labello. For as long as I can remember, my phone and my Labello, and before I ever had a phone, it was the blue Labello.
Well, Suzanne says the same thing. She says, I break out in a sweat if I forget my lip balm. I have 75 spares just in case. Listen to this.
Yeah, my wife can't go anywhere without a back scratcher. They're in the car. They come on holidays with us. There's four or five of them around the house.
A back scratcher. Of all things.
Bizarre.
But brilliant. And then the best thing was, the husband told on the wife, but then the wife got back in touch to say, hang on, that's me.
Dave, I'm Carl's wife, the back scratcher woman.
Yes, Amanda.
And let me tell you, you haven't lived. Like, you know, you never get, your back is so itchy and you've nowhere to scratch and you're up against the door frame or wherever. I have one in the kitchen, one in the sitting room, one in the bedroom, two in the bedroom actually, one in the car, and they come everywhere with me on holidays, everywhere. I'll be on a sunbed in Mallorca with my back scratcher.
That's absolutely amazing. I just love the image of you rubbing yourself up against the door until you found yourself a back scratcher, Amanda. She's painting a good picture of a back scratcher.
Do you know what it is? It's one of those things that you don't realise that you need it until you don't have it, but you'd never think to have it. But if you did have it, you'd be delighted, if that makes sense.
I get you, but I still think, like she described, rubbing yourself up against a post or something is equally fine.
But like, can I ask a genuine, like, my back doesn't get that itchy all that much.
I think if you have a back scratcher, you'd go, oh, is my back itchy? I think it might be. And then you scratch it. It's like those, you know, those head kind of massager like things. If you don't have one of them, you never think about them. But if you have one sitting in your room, you'll go, oh, I think I'd love it. And you start kind of doing it and your eyes roll and you start drooling and stuff. But like, I don't think if you didn't have one, you'd never think about it.
Do you know what happened to me recently? It was lovely, actually. And it's something I'm getting kind of into as a concept. So sometimes when I get my nails done, when they're rubbing the hand cream in at the end, they'll give you like a little hand massage.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you never think about the amount of tension you carry in your hands from like typing and phones and everything.
Yeah.
So that was one thing. And then last week I went to get my hair did. And I went in, and where I got my hair done, they were like, they have those reclining seats, so they lie back or whatever, and check us the water. Okay, and I was like, well, actually, it's a little cold, but we'll go with it, it's fine. And then as she's washing my hair, she's like, would you like me to put a cooling eye mask on? I was like, okay.
Yes.
Why not? It's Thursday afternoon, I'm off work, go for it. So she put a cooling eye mask on, and then she's putting the conditioner in. And at the end of that, she was like, while your conditioner is sitting in, would you like me to give you a quick hand massage? I was like,
oh my God.
If you want. I actually said, if you want to, which is a weird thing to say because obviously you're just like,
yes,
I'm contractually obliged to do this. Like, if you want to. But then I thought, is it just me? And then, you know, when you're like panicking in my head, I was like, oh, because there's a woman next to me and she hadn't gotten any of that done yet. And I was like, oh my God, this is going to cost me like a bajillion. Like, I'll be going to pay. They're like, that'll be 9,000 euro. The hand massage was extra. But no, it's just part of the deal.
So was it nice?
It was so pleasant. I had the eye mask on, my hair was being conditioned, and she just very quickly, a little bit of hand cream, rubby rub, and like, you know, like your thumb pad, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
Gave that little worky work. Oh my God, game changer.
I went to the barber's recently, got my hair cut, and barbers will wash your hair, but obviously it's quite, you know, chunk, throw you back in the chair, hot, cold, they don't care, they're just putting the water on your head, and sometimes it's so hot, and you're like, a lot of them wear gloves. They wear those kind of disposable gloves.
Oh.
And so as a result, then they don't know how hot the water is or cold the water is. Whatever. Anyway, usually it's fine. I just don't care. Look, we haven't got that much hair. It takes a second. It's grand.
Yeah.
But this fella I went to the other day, his name is Alex. And he spent, I'd say, 4 minutes shampooing my hair.
Did you get a little scalp massage?
Well, it wasn't even that. It was just that he did it in so many small stages. Like he would go above your temple and he'd rub there for 6 seconds.
Oh, you were getting a little scalp massage.
Yeah, whereas like you usually just go like, done. You know what I mean? And he was like, I was going, this is, I closed my eyes. I was like, this is amazing. He had the temperature perfect in the water. It was 11 out of 10.
That's what I've come to expect now. Is the little scalp massage and you're getting your hair washed, the hairdressers is like, I would nearly just go
for that.
For them to do that for me. Because
you're not just train your partner, go, right, look, I'm going to lean back. I'll sit in the jacks. I'll lean back over the bath. And
sounds like a really bad version of Ghost.
Yeah, this is terrible, actually. Right, that's the podcast. Thanks very much for listening. 9 to 12, Monday to Friday on the radio. We are there. Make sure you tune in. See ya.
Bye.
Dave Moore on Today FM.